Welcome to the ITAM Review Podcast, news, reviews and resources for ITAM, SAM and software licensing professionals.
Hello everybody, thank you very much for joining me on this latest ITAM Review Podcast. Always a pleasure. And today we've got an excellent guest joining us. I am today joined by Arthur Lozinski, the CEO and co-founder of Umnitza. So great to have you here, Arthur. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me, Rich.
No problem. So I'm looking forward to our conversation today. I think it's going to be wide-ranging, useful for everyone listening for sure. And probably the hardest thing will be keeping it within the time limit. So I know you've got plenty to talk about. I wanted to kick things off by asking you a question that we talk about quite regularly at our conferences and in some of our printed content as well. It's around the strategic importance of ITAM. So, you know, it's a discipline that's been around for years, and we see real varying levels of strategic importance within businesses. So it'd be great to get your thoughts on, you know, how you see ITAM is viewed now and whether you think that is, you know, the correct position for it.
Sure. Well, I think it's worth noting how it became so strategic and what about it became so strategic. It is no surprise to anyone that there's been a influx of technology that's come into the enterprise. And what was traditionally the services that IT provided in very siloed buildings, like the email service that we would provide internally, or the CRM service, or the HR service that we were providing, those tools that we had inside of the enterprise were mostly managed using the internal servers and the internal databases. So, you know, the biggest security risk we had in the 90s and the 80s was maybe somebody deleting a file. Of course, that's completely changed now. And we're living in a world where there's a lot more technology, a lot more vulnerability, a lot more complexity in our environment. And so that complexity has, of course, introduced new strategic importance. You know, when IT was using ITAM traditionally, it was really just to get things started, just to make sure that the business was running, that we had our productivity tools online, that we were able to access our customer database or our various information and the relationship to those. Nowadays, you can't walk into a board meeting where we're not talking about security, where we're not talking about the audits required around technology or inventory controls around compliance. Technology spend, the finance aspect of that technology has increased dramatically. And of course, that technology is providing an experience to our internal customers, so end user compute or various teams within our organization. But it's also a really strategic point when it comes to the customer experience that we're seeing. So that's a big element of this that, you know, I think is becoming more and more important and, quite frankly, more and more exciting. We're seeing a lot of customers and a lot of companies now focused around the strategic elements of their technology more so than ever before. And that's a fairly new thing, Rich. I mean, that's only happened in the last, I would say, 10 years? That you're in a boardroom and you're got to make sure IT is there, you know, not just to make sure the projector's working, but really as a strategic partner to the organization. It's a relatively new concept.
Absolutely. I completely agree with you. And do you think that has been driven primarily by, you know, new technologies like SaaS and cloud? Are they what have caused this shift, do you think, within most businesses?
Well, the SaaS and cloud is interesting right now, especially, but it's happened because of the number of hardware technologies to begin with. And the number of hardware technologies has then increased the applications that are running on those. Of course, cloud has also made it easier for us to spin up and down instances. But it's a function of the technology as a whole. So something like SaaS sprawl, you know, the number of licenses that are out there or the number of technologies are a direct reflection of the number of users that are using those SaaS licenses. So the technology as a whole has increased. And getting a grasp on the number of EC2 instances and S3 buckets that are attached to that, or getting a grasp on the point of sale systems that we might be deploying into the field, or the internal applications, they're all important and they're all connected. And so this idea that they are away from each other is not correct. And yes, right now it's really important to make sure our SaaS spend is under control. But to think that we can get our SaaS license spend under control without getting our hardware technology under control, those they're all connected. You know, it's kinesthetic in that sense. You can't decouple them from each other. So if you, for instance, want to understand what applications are running on what hardware, or you want to manage the licenses that are deployed on your technology, they're connected. You know, some licenses even require you to understand how many devices they're deployed on. So I think there's been a trend, especially push from finance, to say, look, we got to get our spend under control. But I think what we as a technology group are starting to understand, and what we're seeing within our customers, is that they're all connected. These are not separate things that you can do one off. You have to do them together. And I think that's what actually makes the problem more interesting, but also more complex. If you just hone in on one item, like SaaS licensing, you're going to miss a broad stroke because you're not seeing it holistically. That's why I think things like our infrastructure, our networking, our end user compute, our software licenses as SaaS, but also our software licenses on the installed software, they're a holistic problem. They're not individual stovepipes problems or individual siloed problems. That actually perpetuates the issue and makes it more difficult to solve. So if your company today still has trouble with SaaS licenses, or has troubles with the infrastructure, or has troubles with the end user compute, they're all connected. So trying to solve them as one-offs is actually perpetuating the problem.
That's a very interesting point about things being connected. And I guess, you know, historically with ITAM, you know, some people focused on software asset management, some people focused on hardware asset management, and then that kind of rolled up into IT asset management, because, as you say, doing those two things together makes a lot of sense. What we're seeing in the kind of, you know, the more modern enterprises is, just as you were talking about, with things being siloed, that, you know, SaaS is now its own thing. Cloud, as in Amazon, AWS, Azure, is its own thing. FinOps is its own thing. And then, you know, ITAM as well. So do you think that, you know, all those things should be dealt with by the same team? Or is it, you know, different teams that work together in a kind of, you know, Marvel Avengers style? What do you think would work best for most organizations?
I mean, that's an interesting visual. Of course, there's going to be different teams focused on different things. I think it's more of a question of what is the underlying database that you're working off. If all those teams are working off different databases, it's going to be really difficult to do. You know, it's just like we have different teams in HR, one team that's focused on payroll, another team that might be focused on time and attendance, but they're working off the same database. And I think that's the same thing in IT today. Is, of course, you can have a team that's focused on SaaS license management, but they should be using the same database as the end user compute team. Similar to the infrastructure team, if you're doing, for instance, an offboarding of an employee, there is a element of that that has to do with end user computing. You know, like, I need the laptop back, pretty obviously. There's an element of that that has to do with the SaaS licenses that users use. Can we repurpose those SaaS licenses of their Salesforce account, their Workday account, their Slack account, whatever it may be? There is an element of the infrastructure portions. Okay, like, we are going to spin down their EC2 instance, but are we also spinning down the S3 bucket? So what ends up happening is that one workflow that separation of the employee to recovering that technology, that workflow is now three different systems, three different teams, three different organizations, and you're going to miss stuff. And the complexity is becoming so broad that that manual effort, that work, that like list of tickets, and then the teams jumping into different systems, that's where a lot of these problems are coming from. So the future undoubtedly is going to look a lot more connected, where you have an idea of, okay, this user has this end user computing device, has these various SaaS licenses, has access to these various, you know, Google Cloud, Azure, AWS instances, and there's more of a holistic database to work off instead of these fragments. That's what's causing a lot of the problems today.
I think that will resonate very strongly with pretty much everyone listening to us. You know, the concept of data is a real hot topic, you know, in a couple of different ways. There's, you know, how do I get the data? How do I make sure that as an ITAM professional that I'm seeing all the environments that we've got and that I'm able to pick up everything within it? And, you know, we talk about working with security, working with procurement, etc. Because just as you said, you know, they do all tend to have their own data. So for an organization, you know, which is the single source of truth, or do you have to put them all together? And, you know, that leads to overlaps and gaps and things. So, you know, we see a lot of ITAM professionals looking at themselves as probably the most obvious person within a business to take hold of data across the business. But of course, because things are siloed, it makes it difficult. So do you find, you know, in an ideal organization that there would be, you know, would it be that ITAM just has access to all these different parts of the environments, or would it be, you know, that it's something different? It's not called ITAM anymore. Is there a new, different vision for what this could look like to enable that data?
Well, I think that's the opportunity for people working in ITAM today. I think this is way more transformational than people realize. Even the words ITAM mean so many different things. You know, those four letters, they mean so many different things to so many different people. Like you mentioned, you know, clouds. And the reason it means so many different things is because it's evolved. It's totally different than what it was 20, 30 years ago. So the next 5 years, people who are professionals in this organization doing something called ITAM, they're actually doing something way more transformational than we realize. So what I think is really interesting is, and they have this opportunity, they're really creating a much more strategic element of the business than what has existed today. You know, this idea that ITAM is this point in time, like, okay, well, we did the scans and we indexed the stuff, and now we have a report, and that is our ITAM database or ITAM report. That's really a thing of the past. Most organizations we work with today, they're real time. And a lot of that has to do with the manual input of the old, right? Like, oh, there's a ticket, we got to answer the ticket, then we got to input it. I mean, that's not going to scale. So I think that if you're an ITAM professional today, you're working in a completely new environment already. And it's almost like, you know, we can keep using the word ITAM, but you've kind of alluded to, like, isn't this really a new category? And I realize we're, you know, we're listening to the ITAM review. So, you know, maybe that's the term that we use, but we have to redefine it. And what it really is it's that the technology element means so much more, right? Assets mean so much more than they used to. Using something like a configuration management database to try to input all of the technology that you have today is kind of a false nomer. So if you come from the ITSM world, you've been around CMDBs for a long time. Maybe you've been around it for 15, 20 years, maybe longer. You can't realistically think that that is going to be the solution moving forward, or that that's even the solution for today. You can't add enough stuff into these CMDBs in order to solve this problem. So the ticketing background architecture that has been used for this entire time is not going to be what's going to be used moving forward. We as IT professionals are in a completely new world and using tools that we used before to try to solve modern problems is kind of, I mean, it's silly, right, Rich? Like if I think about what the world looked like in 1994, and then I think about what it looks like in 2024, I mean, I remember there was like a phone in the car, you know, like you could call the car. Like we're living in a completely different world. You can't use a technology from then to solve a modern problem. It's just not realistic. So when you say, look, is there a new world order? Like, yeah, abso-frickin-lutely the world is looking different. No way are you going to be able to use tickets and configuration databases to solve problems of thousands of license sprawls, end user compute that's being taken home, multiple different networks. No, that doesn't make any sense. You have to start thinking about the world in a different way. And if you're inside of an ITAM project today and you're like, well, we can't trust the data, or we don't know why it works or doesn't work or who has what. Yeah, not surprising. Of course you can't, because the technology you're using is built for a world that just doesn't look anything like the world we live in today. The exponential growth and influx of technology has been out of control. We've coined a term called enterprise technology management, which really we see as an opportunity to create a category for a new world where there is a ton more technology than what we saw before. And I think it's necessary from the database forward. So the database itself needs to be taking into account all the various technologies that you have, not just the database and the server that it's on. It has to have such a flexible data schema that you're able to handle the various different cloud computing hyperscalers, that you're able to handle the various different end user compute devices that are out there, that you're able to do the data normalization required to be able to handle the influx of all the various SaaS applications that are out there and the installed applications. You're not going to be able to do that on technology that's 30, 40 years old. So these ITAM projects that are not going anywhere or not going as well as they should, or, you know, you ask somebody, how much do you trust your data? And they go, well, you know, that's kind of an uncomfortable question. It's like, yeah, I'm not surprised. Yo, you're not passing the audit? Yeah, like, I'm not surprised. It's old data, old database.
Yeah, I mean, I think that will resonate with many of the people in our audience. You know, they feel those struggles on a regular basis. And I think, you know, for many people, it's hard to know, you know, when you've always done something one way, you've always used these tools or something similar, you know, CMDBs and ITAM tools and things. And it can be hard to have the time, I guess, to step back and say, right, you know, how do things look different now than they did last time we had a look? And as you've said there, you know, SaaS and cloud, and we talk to people who are managing, you know, API calls within software. You know, Microsoft are starting to use that as a metric quite often now. So exactly as you said, you know, the system that was used for servers and processors, yeah, you can probably use it to manage cores because they're not that different to processors. But then as you get into, you know, containers and API calls and data storage, trying to retrofit that into an existing tool will cause problems. So for the people listening to us, for ITAM professionals now, you know, if they're listening and they're thinking, yep, yeah, Arthur, completely agree, love the idea of enterprise technology management, you know, I guess, you know, what can people do? You know, do they have to go out and buy new tools? Is there a, you know, a way that they can start to move towards this new end goal, you know, with existing tools? Do they need to change processes? Just wondering if there's anything that people can do, you know, if they don't have budget perhaps for a tool.
Yeah, well, I mean, the first step is this is a top-down type of conversation. You know, if you're buying outdated ticketing software, ITSM software that is built as CMDB in the backbone, and that's a leadership top-down decision, a lot of ITAM people are just stuck using the tools that they're given. You know, they may not even be in a position to make such a revolutionary change. So I think it starts with the internal conversation. But I will say, Rich, you know, we're dealing with a lot of Fortune 1000 companies that are making these adjustments. So if you're not doing this, your competition is. And the experience they're providing to their internal employees or to their customers is completely different than what you're able to do. What the security protocols that they have, their ability to have finance questions, to be more efficient, their ability to be compliant, the amount of time it takes today to go through an audit is insane. Having to prepare weeks before an audit is absolutely unacceptable. Why is that the case, though? It's because the database isn't strong. So if it's not a top-down motion, meaning if you don't have your C-suite and your VPs that are in charge of the various IT elements involved, it's going to be a really hard time. So I think that if you are a CIO listening to this or a head of IT listening to this, the best thing that you can do is start thinking about your broader strategy. There is a big element of IT that's based around your human input, right? Like your help desk. There's processes that just require human interaction. But there's a lot of processes that are going to be automated if they're not automated already. And if you're not doing it, the companies around you, your peers, a lot of them are starting to do this. So this trend is starting. And I think there will always be a place for tickets, right? I mean, what are tickets? Tickets are human execution. If I want you to do something, Rich, I create a ticket. And I'm like, can you please answer this ticket and go do that? If I need to do something, it's going to be in a ticket, you know, whatever the system is. And we can name all the systems that have tickets. But there's so much in our world as IT people that we can automate. So for us to be living inside of ticketing systems and not spending time thinking about how to automate processes like attestation, for instance, that's something that we see a lot. Do you or do you not have this technology in your possession? And a lot of times today, that might be an email we send out. And then, you know, maybe we used to go desk to desk. I don't know if you remember that. You know, obviously now a lot of more remote work and things like that make that harder. But that could simply be automated. A pop-up in your Slack, an Asana message, an email with a button that says, do you or do you not have this, would help our audits tremendously. And so companies are doing this today. And if you're an ITAM professional who feels stuck, my recommendation to you is you got to start managing up and you got to start saying, look, there's nothing wrong with having our ticketing IT service management system, but what's our technology management system? And are we going to start making investments into technology to be more competitive? Or are we going to continue going the old guard? Because we are going to get lapped by the companies that are investing in a technology management system.
Yeah, I really like that point. You know, businesses, business leaders and so on, digital transformation, you know, has been top of everyone's agenda for quite some time now. And I think most people understand that, yeah, you know, doing these software transformation projects, that will enable the business to be more competitive, win new customers, etc. But, you know, your point there that on the inside, there is also a similar process needed to keep you internally competitive. I think that's very interesting. And also the idea that this becomes, you know, in the world of, you know, attracting talent, that this kind of thing will start to factor in. I can well imagine, you know, in certain roles, in certain parts of the world, someone with a more modern internal infrastructure, you know, that could be the deal breaker for someone looking between two organizations. And we at ITAM Review, we talk a lot about stakeholder engagement. So both horizontal stakeholders, you know, security, FinOps, finance, etc., and vertical stakeholders, so, you know, up through to, as you mentioned, you know, VPs and C-suite. And I think some of the points you've made should give listeners some great points to go and speak to them about. You know, the ITAM technology, you know, technology asset management, enterprise technology management, whatever you prefer to call it, but the modern version of this really can help a business in so many areas. And you know, it's no longer, you know, really, it shouldn't be an optional, oh yeah, you know, we'll have a couple of ITAM people to count some things, you know. enterprise technology management should be a key part of every business. And ITAM professionals, you know, they need to go and have those conversations internally, at, you know, whether it's budget review time or, you know, if you find yourself in the lift with the CIO. Do you have, you know, any tips? People who have been listening to us and think, yeah, actually, I do want to go and start that conversation with my C-suite. Any tips on, you know, where they should start, you know, points they should use, etc.?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing I'll say is I think you're spot on about needing to change the vocabulary that we use. And I think the reason that is because if you talk to an executive today and you say, hey, ITAM is really strategic, you know, be like, I don't know what to do with that. Like, I don't think so. You know, it's like, I've heard that term for a long time. And, you know, like you said, we're just counting laptops. Like, what? So I think using new language is really important because it's not ITAM of the old. Any board today, any C-suite is going to be caring about the compliance framework. If you're in Europe, for instance, or even in the United States, really in any country, you are dealing with more compliance today than ever before. And the compliance around technology is very demanding, especially in highly regulated industries, in special economic zones, in international companies, organizations that are larger. That is a huge drain on the resources of the company. And then there are a number of different penalties that are in addition to the inefficiencies, the penalties of just the time spent doing it, but also the penalties of not passing those audits, those compliance frameworks are quite severe. Not to mention the security risks that are introduced by not being in an efficient process. Those things are all inside of the brains of our C-suite today and inside of the brains of the board today. These are conversations that they're having. And so if you can come to your team and you can say, guys, listen, you know, this is not just counting laptops, as you put it, Rich. This is about our future as a business. This is about the penalties that we're being hit with today. This is about the security of our internal technology. This is about, yes, of course, also the experience that we're providing, but it's so much more strategic than it's ever been, and it's not going to become less strategic. So if we're going to continue talking about ITAM and demarginalizing that group, we shouldn't be surprised when we're spending millions of dollars passing audits, or when we're getting hit with penalties for not being compliant, or when we're not able to budget and forecast for next year. We shouldn't be surprised by that. I don't think that this is really a fault or anything like that of anybody. It's just that the world has changed so dramatically that there's maybe, you could call it an opportunity to think about this in a new way, where IT and specifically the CIOs and the CISOs who are responsible for the various technologies in the company need to start looking at this as a new category. There needs to be a system, a database, a source of truth that handles this technology. If we continue to see these as separate organizations and separate databases and separate processes, we're going to keep running into this trouble. I mean, the world of where we were able to solve this with tickets and humans and manual labor, those days are over. So if you're worried about not being able to pass your audit today, or you need to spend weeks to be audit ready, that just means your database isn't clean. That's what that means. Oh, you can't pass your audit, or you need to prepare, quote unquote, for an audit. That is not the status quo for every company. That is the status quo for your company. So if you want to be audit ready, you got to start with having your systems right. And having your systems right really means thinking about, you know, call it ITAM. We call it technology management because we are trying to create a distinction between the two. That is a new opportunity for your organization. And I think you got to see it that way. And a lot of companies are, right? I want to make this point that I think you and I are talking about it in kind of the framework of this is a change that's happening. But I will say, being in the midst of this, we've been seeing this change happening. You know, this isn't just the last 6 months. I mean, this is the last 5 years. So there are many companies in the United States, Fortune 500s and Fortune 1000s, the Global 5000, as they call it, which includes a lot of European organizations, companizations in APAC that are starting to go down this path. And a lot of it has been because of necessity. They're like, hey, you know, we need to get these devices out in the field into our sales teams or our point of sale systems in our retail environments. Or we are financial organizations that are not able to be compliant in certain regions. Like, we have to solve this problem. So it's not that, you know, it's like, oh, this would be a nice to have. A lot of times this is something we must do. So if you're in an organization today where you're seeing this pain, I think you can gain a lot of visibility if your career is important to you and your company is important to you by going up the stack and saying, look, like, we need to start thinking about this differently. And we need to start investing into technology management, not just service management, which inherently is, you know, human and not tech-centric.
I really like that. I think there's some fantastic sort of tips and pointers in there, and a bit of a call to action, really, you know, for people that do want to make a change in this area within their organization. You know, don't wait for the business to come to you and say, oh, do you know what? You know, here's a load of money and a plan. This is what we want to do. You know, but, you know, take the bull by the horns and go to them and say, you know, I can see these things have changed. You know, areas. And we talk a lot as well, you know, just in general, that IT asset managers making sure that they understand their business goals will help with the executive view of ITAM in general. You know, if you can go to those VPs and C-suite and say, look, I know that we're planning to do X in the next 3 years, you know, we want to expand into new countries, or we want to, you know, double revenue or whatever it might be, you know, and this is how we can help you with that through this transformation. You know, that is going to be only a good thing for IT asset management as a function, for the professionals within that business. So I think, you know, really for us, you know, and you used the word opportunity quite a few times there, Arthur, and I completely agree with that, that yes, there are many challenges. You know, if you're an asset manager prize at the moment, many challenges, but each one of them represents an opportunity as well. And it's all about, you know, is the glass half full, I suppose. And I think, you know, the mindset of technology management, it being a new category, you know, bringing everything together, there's some fantastic opportunities there. And I guess a lot of it comes down to the stakeholder engagement that you have as well. I'm thinking back to, you know, you talked about security and things earlier. I guess having good stakeholder relations horizontally as well gives you what you need to make a start. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, if you mentioned security, I would include FP&A, finance in that. You know, what are we buying? What are we forecasting? They benefit from a better database. They benefit from better processes. The governance, risk, and compliance team, they would be ecstatic if we had a great database and understood what we have. You know, we started off the conversation talking about SaaS and infrastructure. I mean, a lot of that stuff is a cost question right now. You know, you mentioned better employee onboarding. You know, that's a big experience portion. So all of the teams that rely on IT benefit from talking about technology management. And I think if you're in an ITAM situation where you're going, hey, like, I don't feel like I have the support, I do think the onus is on you to raise your hand and say, look, like, there's a way to do this. And I would also just encourage the leadership to start looking at their technology as a strategic point of view. And they have, you know, this isn't a new concept, but I think that that's where we can really collaborate better. The leadership is looking at technology as a strategic competitive differentiator. And so I think us as the implementers of technology have to raise our hand as well and say, we got to come together, you know? So us as leaders, we have to say, yes, we have to start empowering our team members. And I think the members who are implementing the solutions have to raise their hand and say, look, we need something better. And we need to start thinking about it that way. But I will say again, Rich, like, a lot of companies are moving in this direction. I think that's one of the things that I hope is coming through in our conversation, is a lot of companies are starting to do this. And not because It's a nice to have, something that we'd really like to invest into, but because it's a necessity, how are we going to pass our audits if we're not working off a strong database? How are we going to forecast properly what our SaaS spend is if we don't have a good grasp on what licenses we're getting back? Like, this is something that companies are having to do. So if it hasn't permeated into your organization yet, it is into a lot of organizations your peers work in. And so I would just start encouraging people to either look at some of the other companies that companies customer or their companies are working with, or just to go to their leadership and raise their hand and say, hey, there is, you know, there's an opportunity to do this. And then again, to the leaders listening in these organizations that have this influence, it's happening in other organizations. It's time to look around and see what's going on out there. The world has changed, and using old tools to solve new problems is not the answer, but an opportunity to make a change.
Completely agree with that. Yeah. So yeah, I think, you know, for people listening, it's a case of deciding, you know, within your business, you know, who do you need to get on board and go in talking to leadership. You know, and some organizations, what we've seen as well is there is this kind of process taking place, but for whatever reason, ITAM hasn't necessarily been brought in at the start. You know, maybe because people view this as a modern thing, and ITAM sometimes has stuck with a, you know, it's for the on-prem world. So I think, you know, looking around, understanding what projects are already happening within the business and how ITAM could slot into those as well will certainly help. And yeah, really, you know, this is, you know, setting up you and your organization to be able to successfully manage not only all the new technologies that we've got now, but also whatever it is that's coming further down the line as well. You know, if you refresh now and change your processes and automate where you can and so on, I would imagine that would make businesses much more flexible and able to adapt to new circumstances in the future.
Yeah, I mean, you're already using the terminology technology management. You know, like, maybe in the future, you guys are a technology management review, you know, just to like make the point. I mean, the words we use do matter. And I think that a lot of us are getting hung up on this, like asset management. I think it's fine to call it that, but you have to realize that the world has changed and that the tools that you're using have changed, and that tickets and IT service management and those, they have a place, you know, and I would even say ITAM has a place, but technology is so much more encompassing than what it used to be. And so the tools themselves have to change. I think that's the real story. And what you use as the tools really does matter. You know, it's all about people, processes, and systems. And the people aspect is, you're not going to be able to hire more people if you want to solve these problems. Why am I saying that? Is because there's just radically more technology coming online than the amount of people we can hire. If there was a ratio between IT person to amount of technology, I mean, that chart would be exponentially higher than it's ever been. If it was 1 to 10, it's 1 to 1,000 now, or maybe even 1 to 10,000 today, just because of the sheer amount of SaaS licenses, the amount of infrastructure. So the technology managers of tomorrow are not going to be able to use the tools of yesterday. And this is already true today. I think that's a really important takeaway that I'm getting from this conversation, but also from the conversations we're having with the customers and with the experts that we're seeing in the field, is technology management is a problem today and needs an answer today. There is tools out there that are making these differences, and groups that are standardizing on technology management systems are having a much easier time answering support tickets, a much easier time being compliant, a much easier time getting ready for audits. Their relationship with their constituents, like the FP&A team for planning for next year's budget cycle, or their workplace enablement team, their, you know, workplace happiness or various different names for these operational teams, they're having a much easier time being better partners. So I think technology management encompasses much more than your end user compute. It encompasses much more than your SaaS licenses. It encompasses much more than your infrastructure. And looking at it in individual buckets creates and exaggerates the problem. That's why this need for a technology management system is a really great opportunity for a lot of people to make their career, for a lot of leaders to make transformational change, and for companies and organizations as a whole to be more competitive.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, listening to you there, you know, that should resonate with many of our listeners. And I guess, you know, as we come to the end of the podcast, which has come around very, very quickly, a question which many people will perhaps be wondering, you know, given that everything that's going on in 2024, is AI the answer to this? You know, there are lots of people who figure, you know, AI will solve everything. You know, is this something where you can just point, you know, a ChatGPT style LLM at it, or does this need real organizational change before you put something like that on top?
I mean, that's a great question and very pointy and probably on a lot of people's minds. The thing about large language models is that they're really good at some things. Like in our world where data is so important, in technology right now, the biggest problem is understanding the data, getting the data together, being able to make sense of the data. Large language models can help tremendously. Our system thinks a lot about how to use large language models to normalize data. That's a really big large language model input that one can use. There's more tactical large language model execution stuff than I think there's strategic. You know, you're seeing companies making large investments into generative AI as a chatbot for frontline support or tier two support. And I think that kind of stuff is pretty interesting and pretty cool. But I think that when you're thinking about technology management, you're really talking about the database first and foremost, where you're talking about the quality of that data. And then the second thing that you're discussing is the processes around it. What are the processes that we have to be audit ready or to do, you know, what companies are calling coverage gaps? So to be able to understand, is my CrowdStrike or Sophos installed on this server or on this endpoint? Those types of questions are process driven. And so there is an element that LLMs can help with, but I don't think it's a silver bullet. I think it's a lot of lead bullets, a lot of tactical things that we can help with. Ultimately, the processes are what really drive the quality of the database and the quality of the output. So if the processes are in various different systems and we have to use tickets to jump in and have humans do that work, I think we're a long way away. LLMs could potentially define processes if they ingest enough best practices and things of that nature and then spit out what the best practice or process would be for your company. But I think there are still variations from organizations. So my read on this is that LLMs are great for data normalization on a tactical level. I think they're interesting for medium time to resolution on the help desk and ticketing side. I don't think that they are a silver bullet for IT specifically, maybe for other groups, but not for IT. And primarily because we still have to define the business processes, and those business processes require us to have a good understanding of our internal data structures and databases. So to answer your question pointedly, I think there's room for LLMs and generative AI in general to be helpful to IT. But I think the biggest pain we have today is twofold. Number one, it's the database itself. Do we have accurate data that we're working off on all the various technologies we mentioned, whether it's infrastructure, SaaS, on installed software, endpoint compute, what's the database? And then the second question is the processes. Are we audit ready real time, or does it take weeks to get ready? And if those processes take weeks to get ready, I don't know how your large language models are going to help you with that. What you really need is to have a machine-based process. You need applications that may be using some of that AI, but you can't be relying on tickets and manual attestation to try to get there. That's not going to work. And many companies have realized that.
Couldn't agree more. And you made a great point there, Arthur, about, you know, the data. You know, ultimately, that's what AI as it exists at the moment, you know, sits on top of, and AI is, you know, pretty much only as good as the data that goes into it. So if you have old data, missing data, duplicate data, etc., then, you know, all the problems that you have now, the AI tool will have most of them as well. So whether your organization, you know, is going down an AI route or not, you need to fix that underlying data foundation, just as we said at the start. So I think that's quite a nice kind of full circle point there, really, that, you know, the processes and the data, you know, it needs fixing whichever direction you're going in. To be successful, you need to address the things that we've been speaking about today. So I guess, you know, for people listening to us, you know, if there's one thing that you want them to take away, you know, one thing that you think they should go and do as soon as they've pressed pause, what would that be for the people listening today?
I think the main takeaway, at least for me over these last few years working on this problem, is that this is really a new category. And ITAM has shifted a lot. And it doesn't matter so much what the terminology is. I think the technology management is changed. And with this new change, the tools that we use have to change. The processes we have change, and what our people do change. And so I think the people, process, systems has never been truer. So if my one takeaway for anybody listening would be that we live in a technology management world now, and what we were doing before is not going to work. So if you're feeling pain today around being audit ready or being compliant or budgeting with your finance team or creating a great experience, and you're feeling pain around that, I would say it's because the world's changed and it's time to look at new processes and new systems.
Perfect. I think that's a great point to end on. So yeah, I've thoroughly enjoyed this. You know, it's always nice when you have a conversation that kind of ties in with some of the things you're already thinking, but also expands it and takes you in some new directions. So thank you very much for your time, Arthur. This has been very enjoyable, and I think, you know, for people listening, if they've got more questions, if they want to find out more, then I would imagine that, you know, checking out the Omnitzer site will give them some additional resources and so on. Equally, if anyone's got any questions, feel free to get in touch with us at ITAM Review, and we can help, or we can put you in touch with the right people over at Arthur's side as well. So thank you very much, Arthur. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much, Rich. I love what you guys are doing at ITAM Review, and thank you for having me on today.
Not at all. And thank you, everyone who's listening. You know, thank you for your time. Hope you found this thought-provoking, and I look forward to catching you all on the next one. So have a great rest of your day, everyone. Cheers. Bye.